left off last week with the malacha of malaben or kibbutz. So we spoke a little bit about the deraisa as a malaben, a little bit about the derabbanan as a malaben. And there's one last issue relating to malaben, to kibbutz, which is a derabbanan, but it's not so much a gezeira that don't do this because you're going to come to do something else. Rather, it falls into the category of what's called a marasayim. So the Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos speaks about the following shaila. A person's clothing got wet, not because he washed them, because he got stuck in the rain. And now he wants to hang up the clothing to dry. So the shaila is, there anything wrong with that? So there's no act of malabin per se. The question is, someone's going to walk by and see a guy hanging up laundry on the line. So he's going to be chayshet. Maybe the person washed his clothing. So maybe that should be a marasayan problem. So the Mishnah says that's a problem. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to hang up your clothing because of marasayan. But the Gemara quotes about chlekes atanoim, what if I want to hang up my clothing in a place where nobody sees it? Hang it up in my bathtub. No one is going to come into my bathroom to see it. So the Gemara quotes one Tana that says that it's okay. There's no marasayan, then it's mitzvah. And the other Tana says no. Komokam she'asu chacham mishum marasayan afil b'chad b'chadar moser. Now, wherever Chazal prohibited something, Mishum Marisayim, so it's also even Mechadi Chadorim, even in even the privacy of one's own home, even though no one's going to see it. How do we pasken halacha? So we generally assume halacha like that opinion. Not all the Rishonim agree to that, but that's the accepted halacha. The Taka Chomacham Shasacham Mishum Marisayim, Afil Mechadi Chadorim is also. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, one is not permitted to hang up clothing in any area, even privately, no one's going to see it. If it could potentially, if people would be there, would give off the impression that the person actually washed and hanging out the clothing to dry. So the post can point out that that only makes sense if you're hanging up your clothing in a type of a place that people would hang up wet clothing. That's the normal darka shalalim. You wash something and hang it up. So let's say, for example, if I was walking in the street in Shabbos, I got soaked, so I want to, my socks are all wet, so I want to hang up the socks on the dryer or something. So that's a problem. That's where people put their wet socks. A person wants to hang up their wet shirt over the bathtub or something. So that's a problem. Even though I'm going to close the door, no one's going to see it, but that's b'chad b'chadorim. That's still a problem. Because hanging clothing over a bathtub, that's a dark b'chad. That's what people sometimes do when they have wet clothing. But let's say I'm going to hang up my clothing in a place that no one in a million years, that's where I'm hanging up my clothing to dry. Let's say I'm going to hang up my soaking wet shirt inside my coat closet or something. I'm going to throw it over the back of a chair or something. I don't know. I might figure out eight so where people don't hang up wet clothing. So that's not a problem. That was never included in the gezeira. That was never included in the marasayin altogether. One could raise a question whether how much of this halacha really plays out for us in terms of different kinds of items that generally are not washed and hang up to dry. Let's say, when was the last time you hung up your Shabbos coat to dry? When was the last time you hung up you washed your Shabbos coat? When was the last time you washed your suit? Those are things that are dry clean. So maybe one can argue, maybe the whole gezeira doesn't apply. Maybe the whole marasayin doesn't apply. That's a tzarchi in the place we can discuss. But other kinds of things, for sure, shirts and socks and undershirts and things of that nature. So for sure, the marasayin applies to them. One thing is clear for the poskim is that one is allowed to leave wet clothing on the line from before Shabbos. You're not mechuyev to take it down, even though in theory it's the same marasayin. The guy walks over and he sees the stuff hanging on your line. So how does he know when it was put up? So somehow Chazal would never mechayev me, like the kumba say, to go ahead and do something to remove a situation of marasayin. I'm not allowed to set up a marasayin, but if it was already set up, to be mechuyev to take the clothing off the line, so there is no such requirement. It could be, as we mentioned last week, the clothing is still considered to be muktzah. If it was so wet that it was tefech and nasat fiach, it was soaking wet, if you touch it and you touch something else, you get the other item wet. So that clothing was muktzah when Shabbos began, and the nigudis katzalim and the shmashas kicks in, that we quoted last week for the Mishnah Berurah. But in terms of being mechuyev to take the item off, lo shemana dav zemayoylem. If you want to remember this halacha, I'll share with you a humor story. 95% of my humorous Halacha Shabbos stories are credit Moshe Kolob. That's what I spent my formative years. So, one of the many summers when I was the Moshe Kolob college counselor, so I see some people probably were in Moshe Kolob. No, some know what I'm talking about. Nobody was there. Nobody was in Moshe Kolob. One person. That's it. You know, it used to be in the old days, if you were Ben Torah, and you learned Torah, and you lived in America, so you were in Rosh Chof, and so there was no other option. So 99% of the Torah leadership in the world today, in the age of range, even the 50s, made their way through Moshe Kol in some shape or form. I guess in theory, it's just what Kol has, can say probably close to that in its day as well. But Moshe Kol in its heyday, it's still its heyday, it's forever been its heyday, but in its last Google heydays, so when I had this chus to be the college counselor, so we were trying to figure out what exactly my job was. So one of the questions that was raised to me was that I had a fascinating conversation with a lady by the name of Faith. She was the woman who would clean up in the bunks for us, a non-Jewish woman who lived in Lake Como or Lake, whatever you want to call the place now. So she would clean up. So she once came by on a Friday afternoon, and she was very, very upset. And she said, I don't understand. It's a disgrace to the Sabbath that the guy's underwear are hanging up all over the volleyball net. That used to be volleyball, except for the 9 days tournaments, the volleyball net was the place to hang up your wet clothing. So she said, it's a disgrace to the Holy Sabbath. So I thought for a svara, she holds that Maris Ayin is even a dekuma, even Sheva Tasa is a Shabbat. We didn't pass like that. There were two great Hilchos Shabbos shalos that occurred between myself, Rabbi Simon, and the custodial staff there. That was one of them. And the other was a conversation that took place between Mary. Mary was our sidekick, Mary and Faith. So Mary and Rabbi Simon once had a fantastic conversation. Mary didn't like to do it on topic, but you gotta hear the story. So Rabbi Simon used to check the Erev all the time. So one Friday afternoon, Mary said to Rabbi Simon, says, can you explain to you exactly what you're doing? So he said, well, on the Sabbath, we're not allowed to carry outdoors. So we're making wires and poles, and we're turning the outdoors into the indoors. That was his, Irvin 101 for the non-Jewish custodials, definitely coming. We're taking the outdoors into the indoors. She walked away. Next Friday, she came back. She said, Rabbi, I was thinking about a lot what you said the whole week. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard about. So she was a crave of Irvin. She doesn't accept that she holds like the Rambam. So you can't make just a Pesach. Okay, back to that story. So let's see if we can move on. Without further ado, let's see if we can move on to the next malacha. The next malacha is the malacha of Tzeveya. So we're going to see actually Tzeveya and Malabim may actually have certain similarities to one another. We'll see as we develop this malacha. So Tzeveya and the Mishkan, they had to dye the wolf. You need Tcheles, Agamant, Lashoni. So of course we obviously know the dyeing wool or dyeing other kinds of materials is going to be a malacha deraisa of Tzeveya. So one of the most critical questions about Tzeveya is a Gemara that appears in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara speaks about a person not dyeing wool, but rather dyeing themselves, putting on makeup, putting on sirach. So the Gemara has a statement, Ish lo savar sirach al panel Shabbos. A woman is not permitted to put makeup on Shabbos. Why? Because of Tzeveya. And the Shabbos, to what degree of an Isser is that? So the Rambam, when he quotes this din, does not quote it in the Melacha Derais of Tzeveya, he quotes it by the Derabonans of Tzeveya. The Rambam is clear that if you do it, you're not allowed to do it, but it's part of a lawsuit. It would not be a Melacha Deraisa. Why would it not be a Melacha Deraisa? It's not 100% clear in the Rambam why that's so. It's generally assumed that the reason is because this is lacking the criteria of Kayama, because it's not for any degree of permanence. Now, truth to be told, the Gemara never spells out explicitly that the rule of Kayama is necessary in order to violate Melacha of Tzeveya Deraisa. The Gemara does have Kayama by other malachas, similar malachas like Kesev, hopefully we'll talk about this much, much later down the road. The other Mishnah says explicitly that if you write with the Ksav, Shein Hashem Kayama, a person who writes with, you have gravy on your plate. Remember when we were little kids, we used to always play tic-tac-toe on, guys, probably before your time, the tic-tac-toe and the chicken gravy. So in Shabbos, the Pesukim say, I'm not allowed to do that, but that's not a Nisa Derai. So why? Because it's not Shel Kayama, it's not going to last, it's going to disappear, it's going to wash off, that's not Ksav Shel Kayama. So the Rambam understood that din of Kayama is not only true by Kaysim, it's true by Tzeveya as well. Maybe it's true by other malachas also. So therefore the Rambam said, when a woman puts on makeup, she's not putting on makeup for the Yalim Boy, it's going to come off of her soon. So that's called Tzviya Shen Hashem Kayama, and therefore the worst is going to be as a Derabban. And other Bishayim disagree. The Rambam quotes others, the Smag, other Bishayim will say, no, that the Gemara Mamish meant it's in a Seder Aisa. I would happen to the Tzeinu Shel Kayama. So Teretz says, who says it? Vilmina Shel Kayama. When Chazal say it, they said it. They didn't say it, they didn't say it. So that's a loaded question. How do we paskin halacha? So it's usually assumed like the Rambam. Again, it's not going to be much of a nafkamina ladina because you can't do it anyway, even according to the Rambam. It's nafkamina whether it's a chil Shabbos deraisa, chil Shabbos derabanan. If you go down the route of the Rambam, if there is a heter, or not heter, but a ptur of Enoshel Kayama, and a love of Deraisa, that could possibly open up the possibility of the following Shaila. If you're only dealing with the Rabbanan here anyway, could we argue that Pamedavam Amur, the Chazal made this, is the Rabbanan of Tzviya Shenesha Kayama, that's when there's some degree of Kayama to it. A little Chash, a little, it smacks of Deraisa, it smells like a Deraisa, Asla de Deraisa. But if it's something that's a roi ba'almas, Enesha Kayama, klal, it's almost gornish. So maybe one could argue that's not even a derabanan. So the truth is, we have a little bit of a model for that. And look, I mean, another malacha, we're going to get to that malacha not that long from now. Malacha of kesha, we actually have these kinds of categories. You have kesha shokhayama, that's if you make mamasha kesha, really, really shokhayama, super duper long. How long is super duper long? So that's a loaded question. We have to wait till we get to kesha. Then you have the middle category of a kesha shel kayama b'miktsos, which is a misa derabanan. Then you have a kesha she'enu shechayama klal, which is actually muto lechatchila. Now again, where do you draw the lines? In the 24 hours, 7 days, 30 days? So that's a loaded question in the sugya of kesha, depending on how you read certain gemaras in Perek Lecharim. But that model of their Isis, their abundance, and mutter does exist vis-a-vis the sugyas of kosher, vis-a-vis kayam. So maybe one can borrow that idea into Malachas Tzvi as well. That Bamed Dvar Mamurim, that Chazal Merinisa, their abundance of Tzvi, Asher Shekayama, that's if it's a little bit of a mashu or something or other. But if it's so terrible, Mamish, easy, come, he's yours. It's here today, I don't know if it's here today, gone tomorrow, maybe here today, gone in 3 minutes. So maybe such a Tzvi, lo grazu klal uklam. So Rav Moshe has a very, very cryptic tshuva on this topic. The tshuva was addressing the issue of potentially permitting certain kinds of makeup on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe suggests this idea, and some people interpreted Rav Moshe the way I just presented it. The Rav Moshe mamash meant that there is, in theory, this category called the Tzviya Shen Shechayama Klal Uklal. The question is, where do you draw the line? How much is Enosh HaKoyama Klal Ukal? So that's already also a very, very loaded question. Because if you go back to the original model that we mentioned before, the Mashal of Kosher, so the biggest chumrah in the lowest level of Kosher is 24 hours. There are some, two opinions about at what point do we say we're dealing with at least a Derabban of Kosher. So some say 24 hours and some say a week. But if it's less than 24 hours, that seems to be mamish nothing. So then maybe if Rav Moshe's mashal is right, that we're going to carry over this idea of Enosh HaKoyama Klal to be Mutal Lechatchila, maybe we can have grounds to be Matar makeup. If the makeup's not even going to last 24 hours, it'll be a Gafal de Kukula, it'll be a Murray de Kukula. You know, we're not so fast to do that. We're not so quick to do that. And it's not even 100% clear what Rav Moshe said. But there were some who did interpret Rav Moshe in this manner, that if you can create a situation where it's Enosh HaKoyama Klal, then maybe there would be grounds to be Matar or certain kinds of makeups. So there was a whole industry based on this. It was called the Shabbat makeup. That was the name of the company, Shabbat makeup. And it was basically just an extension of this idea of Rav Moshe. However, not everyone agreed to Rav Moshe's whole model altogether. Shlomo Zalman disagreed with Rav Moshe's very premise. Shlomo Zalman said, there is no precedent in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch for this idea. That Tzviya Shen Shechayam is klal, is mutter. One of the interesting rayas that they want to bring, that there is no such klal of Enosh HaKoyam klal, being mutter, is if the whole notion of being made by Tzveya openly has its roots in Huchas Kosev. By Kosev, what would the din be? Let's say a person writes something in a way that it's going to disappear in 5 seconds. So that's mutter. Is that true? So it doesn't appear to be that way. There are more quotes that you shouldn't write on the window. Say, what if I tic tac toe on the window? When the window is like misty, it's steamy or something. So you want to start writing your name on it. You want to sign, I was here. So the Ramah says you're not supposed to, the Tosafot says you're not supposed to do that, because that's like a shtickel kosev. Even though that's a joke, it's going to disappear in 5 seconds from now, and it's still off some of the Rabbanan. Unless you want to be doiche, that it doesn't really totally disappear. It's a strange, I don't know all the physics about this, but if you write your name on the, say, the bathroom, you took a good hot shower, and now the window's all steamy, and the mirror's all steamy, and you write your name, and then you leave, and then when you come back next time, it may actually still, it may come back. It's a little bit, your name. So it's a lambda shashayla about where do you draw the line. Is that called shelki? I mean, it's not clear. At the end of the day, nechluk gedali ayla between Rav Moshe and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, is there even discussion about this topic? So Rav Moshe definitely opened up the possibility of this topic, of Enosh HaKoyama klal being potentially mutar, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman macht the whole thing with that. How do we pass in halacha? Depends who you ask. If you ask the person who made up the Shabbos makeup company, I'll tell you that we're Michael. If you ask the Shmei Shabbos Kuchasli, who was a Talmud from Shlomo Zalman, I'll tell you that it's also. So yeah, Shmei Yesh. So when women ask this question, so I usually present in a very powerful way. I said that there are definitely grounds to be machmir. Those who don't want to put on makeup at all, it's a wonderful, talk about lechem bracha. Those who, for whatever reason, feel they're absolutely necessary to do it, so at least they should try to find the most aroy kind of makeup that mamash lasts very, very short. So at least there's something to rely on. Yeah, leave it kind of like that. One has to be careful when you're dealing with makeup. There are other shadows also. We didn't even get anywhere near these malachas. Malachas are machik. You start smearing certain things and solids and lipsticks and other kinds of things. Run into other problems besides tzeveya proper. But again, that's not really a malacha right now. So the first important shiloh when you talk about tzeveya is the issue of tzeveya being kayabai to shukran. Then there's another very, very important issue of tzeveya, which is an explicit machlekes in the Rishonim, and that is there a notion of tzeveya on ochlan or not? Something is a food. Does food lend itself to malachas tzeveya? So this is always a tricky question. There are some malachas that do speak to foods, other malachas that don't speak to food. Let's say, for example, bishul. So that would be a great cooler. No bishul ochlan. Okay? So that's generally not accepted. I don't mean generally, that's silly. But there are other malachas that is not so clear exactly. So the Gemara actually Ashad is about, let's say, malachas ba'abed. The Gemara talks about if I tan skins or something, I take animal skins and I put them into a salt solution, I start to strengthen them and harden them and I salt them up. So that's malachas ba'abed. What if I do a similar thing to food? Is that malachas ba'abed? So the Gemara talks about yesh ba'ayichlan, heim ba'ayichlan. Or the Rishonim talk about yesh ba'machik ba'ayichlan, heim ba'machik ba'ayichlan. So there are certain malachas that are not 100% good. See, Mach Patatish is a big, big machlekes. Yesh Mach Patatish, Mach Patatish, Mach Patatish, so there's certain malachas that it's a little hard to define whether the malach applies to the oichla or to food somehow with such a fundamentally different surah of preparation that these non-food malachas just don't carry over. The whole marshal, the whole model doesn't carry over. So it's a little bit unclear. So one of those malachas that's unclear is the malach of Tzeveya. So there was some Rishonim who say explicitly that tzeveya does apply to food, like mechatayis, it applies to wool and it applies to food as well. Another Rishonim say no, that food is somehow so mufka, such a different concept that it's not, it doesn't lend itself b'chlal to the malacha of tzeveya. Or maybe it could be that those who say ein tzeveya ba'ichlid, maybe in the back pocket thinking of it's like ein shochayama. When you tzeveya food, so it's usually for the purpose of eating it fairly quickly, so maybe one could argue it's always going to be subsumed on the ein shochayama. So it's not clear exactly why there should be such a cloud, but there is an explicit machlekes to Rishonim. That machlekes actually revolves around a cryptic Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos discusses when you shecht an animal, which different malachas are potentially involved in shechting an animal. So one is malacha shechet, that's pretty obvious. One, it kills the sham, that's where the lamet is malachas. But the Gemara opens up the possibility, maybe over tzeveya as well. Tzeveya, who's fat tzeveya? So when you shecht the animal, so the whole neck of the animal gets very, very red, gets very, very bloody. So Gemara says, what is that tzeveya exactly? I couldn't care less that's bloody. He says, no, you do care. You want it to be bloody. Why? Because you get a better price for it. Because if it's good and bloody and fresh red blood, so then everyone can tell it was just shechet, it's fresh meat. Fresh meat's going to sell a lot more than meat that's been sitting around for 3 days. So if I can come to the, to the butcher store, maybe I'm the sheikh, and I come and I bring it to the butcher, I say, listen, I got this gavalik piece of meat now that's, I'm sure, red blood all over its neck. It's a great time. You get a better price than if it's a brown, deoxygenated, blood from 3 days ago. So the Gemara says that it could be that's called nichale. It could be that is considered to be malachas tzeveya. So the Rishonim have a machlekes, what exactly, which part of the animal exactly was red that you're showing off to the butcher? So the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are some Rishonim who say that you're showing off the meat itself. So Mishnah Berurah, the meat means the chaychlin. Must be, if the Gemara is talking about the possibility of tzeveya on meat, must be yesh tzeveya ba'ichlin. And then the Mishnah Berurah highlights that other Mishnah say, you're showing off the oil, you're showing off the skin. The skin is not edible. So you're not showing off the meat, you're showing off the skin. So the skin is not edible, so that's not that wouldn't be subject to the klal of Ein Tzeveya Ba'ichlin. So at the end of the day, we're not 100% sure what the din is. Most of the poskim assume that Ein Tzeveya Ba'ichlin. That's the general assumption is that the whole Malacha Tzeveya, the whole concept of Malacha Tzeveya, doesn't really apply to Eichlin B'chlal. The whole Surah of Malacha, B'chlal doesn't apply to Eichlin. That's the way Me'ikah Me'ikah would do if we pass it. There is a Mishnah Berurah that throws a little bit of a curveball at us, not in the Siman of Tzeveya, but about in the Sugis of Bishul, Siman Shin Yiches. where the Mishnah Berurah has this whole shtirotah about how to make tea on Shabbos. Famous Mishnah Berurah, where, I don't know if you're speaking about this, Rabbi Cohen, you're doing Bishul now? You guys doing Bishul also? What?
January,
okay, so I'll give you a little heads up on Bishul. So there's a very, very famous Mishnah Berurah, long one Mishnah Berurah, where he talks about all the possible issues of making tea on Shabbos. So he starts off by saying that if you take tea leaves and you put it into a pot of water, so that's a malacha deraisa for sure. If you take a tea kettle and you pour it onto the tea leaves, that's probably malacha deraisa also, because that's called iri klivisha, that's the malacha for the klipa, whatever, that's no problem. Then Mishnah Berurah starts talking about making tea in a klisheni, and then he starts talking about making kli, and if the tea was hot already and it's cooled down, and bishalach, which every possible nuance, permutation of how to make tea on Shabbos, a long Mishnah Berurah. So in the middle of that Mishnah Berurah, he has the following horror. He says, you know, our netiyah and all the sugyas would be is that let's get if we want to mix, let's say pre-made tea scents, right? Like the old style of it was like this pre-concentrated tea scents, and it's cold, and now we want to mix this together with hot water. Our netiyah would always be get the water into the cup first. Why? Because if you get the water to the cup, you always gain the kli. So now you're no longer a kli misha, now a kli sheni, maybe you're not a kli sheni, a kli shlishi, whatever you are, it's probably better to get the water in first and then to get the tea scents towards mitam bishul. It says the Mishnah Berurah, mitam bishul, that's better, but mitam tseveya, that's worse. As the Mishnah Berurah says, that if you have a cup of clear water and now you're pouring this brown tea stuff into it, so you're coloring the water. And according to some Rishonim, that's a problem of tzeveh ba'ichlin. So it's a very, very difficult Mishnah Berurah, because the Pashat problem is we don't even accept this idea of ein tzeveh ba'ichlin. And even if we do, why is it different whether you're pouring the scents into the water, putting water onto the scents? Either way, you're turning clear water into brown water. So if you think that making clear water into brown water is malachas tzeveh, the rabbanim, right? Whatever your picture of tzeveh ba'ichlin is, Mishnah Berurah is convinced that it only applies in one direction versus the other. So it's hard to understand exactly what this whole Mishnah Berurah is all about. I don't think he made it up. I think he's quoting from earlier. Chavarim have this idea. It's a little bit of a curveball in the sugya of tzeveh ba'ichlin. But the pashas dvarim is that there's really no malach of tzeveh altogether. One of the cases where this sometimes comes up is about the wine and grape juice and white wine and red wine. There is a Ramban based on a sugya of Basra where the Ramban says you shouldn't make kiddush on Friday night on white wine. Because white wine is somehow considered to be a very inferior kind of wine, and therefore you shouldn't make kiddush on it altogether. And we don't really follow this Ramban. The Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. The Shmir Shabbos Kachas, of course, the group of Acharonim will say that even the Ramban doesn't apply bizman hazeh. The Ramban was talking about when you live in a place where the white grapes, the green grapes, or the white, whatever they were much lower quality grape, and the wine that was being produced was a very shvachan kind of wine. He said, today, he said, he sells a bottle of white wine for $500. He said, you're going to tell me the following, says Sayyidi Zacharenim. You want to make Kiddush on a $7.50 bottle of some cheapy, bubbly, sparkly, something or other that's crossed between wine and cough medicine or something. That's okay, because as long as it's red. But the $150 bottle of, I don't know what. Give me a name, I don't know. Partenura bubbly, I don't know, whatever it is. You're going to tell me that's no good. So it can't be. That doesn't make any sense. So some of them say the whole thing is lahoyot v'amayelam. But whatever it is, there are still some people who are machbe, at least Friday night, they try not to make kiddush on white wine for that reason. Rabbi Kivega writes, on Shabbos day, you can make kiddush on white wine, even l'chadchila, because Rabbi Rishon don't even accept the Ramban. Kiddush on day is only the Rabban anyway, it's much more kal. So the kiddush by day, Rabbi Kivega says it's okay. So I never heard of this Rabbi Kivega, but I heard it from Rabbi Shechter, told it to me once. I was with him once in the sukkah by Rabbi Cohn. Rabbi Cohn is and I are neighbors, we share backyards. So a couple of years ago, Rabbi Shechter was there for the first days of Yom Tov. So we were invited for one of the meals. So I noticed that Rabbi Shechter was making kiddush on kiddush by day on white wine. So someone passing, he mentioned that the reason why he always makes it in white wine, always, but sometimes, is because of this Rabbi Kivega. So it's a good idea because I have a lot of white wine in my house. People give me shalachmanis, they give me gifts, they give me 20 bottles of white wine. So I try lechachila to make kiddush on red wine. So I got all these bottles of white wine, I'm doing it. So those who want to follow Rabbi Kivega, so they can make kiddush even lechachila on the white wine. Or you can give it to the caterers because they use it under the chuppah, because the minhag is to use white wine. Not for any grandiose halachic reason, but because the last time the Mesech Kedushin spilled the wine at the Kal's rest, they sued him, so therefore white wine is safer rather than a red one. The Paiskim quote that there used to be a minhag in some communities in Europe that they would use white wine for the Lel HaSeder. dafka, they would use white wine because they were nervous about the blood libels. I'm afraid they're going, we're going to come and tell them that they're drinking the blood. So they would use dafka white wine. Anyway,
isn't there more Mormonian because they were dumb?
Yeah. But they were going to get killed. So they thought it was good enough a reason to violate that, whatever that was. But I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, back to the story. So the Poskim discussed, let's say a guy has a white wine, he wants to make it a little bit red. He wants to get a little bit red. So he'll throw a little bit of grape juice, he'll throw a little bit of red wine into it. So some Poskim, wait, hold the phone. It's a shot of Tzeveya. So the others responded, it's saying Tzeveya, it doesn't matter. It's Tzeveya Gomer. So yesh for yesh. But Ika Mikra, then we seem to Poskim that ain't Tzeveya Baichle. But again, not everybody agrees to it. There is a fascinating Shaila that was raised already quite some time ago, about the following potential shayla of tzeveya, which may touch on some of the things we're talking about. They have in the bathrooms, that sometimes when you flush, so they have these like chemical things that make it clean and smell, whatever it is. So sometimes they're clear, the chemicals that come out, sometimes they're cold, sometimes they're blue, something. So the guy flushes the bathroom, and then this blue stuff spritzes out and gets all the water in the toilet. It's now all blue, so you were just tzeveya, the water in the bathroom. It's a shaila of tzeveya. So I remember years ago when this became a prevalent thing, so I remember in yeshiva, there were some guys who they took upon themselves the minhag of walking around the dorm on Friday afternoon, taking all those things out of all the bathrooms in the yeshiva. The rechosh is a shaila of tzeveya. So I remember at that time, I was a little bachur at the time. I was in one Shabbos, I was in Flatbush for Shabbos, and I davened in Chaim Berlin that Shabbos, and I noticed that they had all the things in the bathrooms, and nobody, so it was just a strange thing that somehow in Chaim Berlin they weren't so machpid on this, and why you, everyone was going nuts about taking these things out of the bathroom. So what was the tzad l'hakel? Why is the min l'hakel? So there were two possible coolers that were given for this. So one possible cooler is maybe it's called Enish HaKayama, because again, according to Moshe's Hagdara, that it's Enish HaKayama, cloud, and it's going to be mutter. So when you flush it, how long is it going to last for the next guy uses the bathroom? So that's such an insignificant amount of time. So maybe even though you're quote unquote coloring the water, maybe that shouldn't pose a problem. Then there were some who came up with a very, very creative solution to this problem. They said, no, you know why it's mutter? Catch this one, because Ein Tzeveya Ba'eichlin. Because the water that you're dying, what are you dying? I'm dying water. So that water is drinkable water. I mean, most people probably wouldn't drink it, but that's technically drinkable water. It's the same water that comes out of the faucet. I'm not saying that it's filtered water, but it's the water coming out of the faucet. So that water is technically drinkable. So it's Ein Tzeveya Ba'eichlin should apply. So that's a very, very questionable application of the principle of Yesh Tzeveya Ba'eichlin. So that's another question, right? So that's a shaila. Is that called a psik reshel of nichale, or is that called nichale? Why did they make it blue? Why did they make it a color? So they make it a color because that way you'll know when it runs out. So how would I ever know whether the thing runs out or not? So when it was blue, and then when it's blue, then I know I have to get a new one. So I really, in the back of my mind, do want it to be blue. So you want to tie it out? I don't care what it's blue. Why you cares what it's blue? Ugh, partly whether it's blown out. So I don't know. That's a tricky question. Even if it's a psikreshla nichalei, psikreshla nichalei are not automatically, glat, mutlachilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilchilch So this was a strange suggestion that some Toskim wanted to be matir based on Ein Tzaveh Ba'Eichon. So we'll have to analyze that for a minute. So maybe next week, Mitzvah, we want me to pick up from this fascinating Nakuda whether Ein Tzaveh Ba'Eichon, even if it's true, whether this makes any sense in this context. We want to hear another fascinating story that I'll tell when the tape's off. Also Mara Shakola story.
I think we live in a world that is Baruch Hashem.